If you want to reach people online, your church needs to create landing pages. You see, most people, when they get on your church website, they don't get on to your homepage first. They get on through a landing page. And in today's episode, we walk through 6 landing page ideas that your church needs to create. We hope this conversation helps you reach more people and grow. This is the Reach Right Podcast. You're listening to the Reach Right Podcast, the show dedicated to helping pastors and church leaders reach people the right way. Hosted by me, Thomas Costello, and with me as always is my co-host, Ian Hyatt. We're here to help your church see more visitors and grow. Hey guys, welcome to the Reach Right Podcast, episode number 68. I am your host, Thomas Costello, and with me, as always, is my co-host.
What's up? It's Ian Hyatt. Hey, Thomas.
Hey, Ian. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. Yourself?
Good. Doing good. Excited for our conversation here today. We're going to be talking about 6 church landing pages that your site needs to include. We think this is an important topic because landing pages are really key to any kind of digital outreach or digital marketing that churches are doing nowadays. It's something that I think a lot of our customers may not be totally familiar with what we mean by that or why it's important. And so we just thought it'd be a really good conversation to have with our audience today.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think, you know, in recent years, landing pages have become more of a thing and on the tip of pastors' tongues. I, in consulting with as many ministry leaders as I do, I'm starting to hear people ask about those more.
Yeah.
And the saying has always been in the web world that content is king, right?
Right.
So, and content is extremely important on these landing pages that we'll be talking about for sure.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. So why don't you start us off with letting us know a little bit about what we mean when we say landing page? What is that? What is a landing page and why are they important?
Yeah. So it's a page on your website. So mm-hmm. that's let's just get that out there for sure. So it's a page on your website with specific content that someone would be looking for.
Right.
So content of interest and so on. So it's not always... It's not always a page in your like main navigation, the top
right.
header area of your website or wherever your main navigation is on your website, but it is definitely a page within your website.
Yeah. So I think the reason why we use the term landing page, it's because think of it as a place that someone who is first getting onto your website, it's the place that they will land. So it's the place that they go when they first hop onto your site. So
yeah.
It used to be the way we think about this is that we'd spend a lot of time, a lot of efforts focusing on building a great homepage. And that's still really important. You want a great homepage on your website. We're not going to take away from that. But we have seen, I know with our Reach Right site, with churches I've pastored, with our clients, that most of our churches now, they get more people entering their website through a landing page than they do through the home page of the website. So we have this mistaken idea that most people that get onto our church website are going to get onto the home page and then find what they're looking for. But in reality, what's usually happening is they're searching for something specific online and a link to an inside page or a landing page comes up, or they see a link on social media that it addresses one of their specific needs and it goes to a landing page. And so I know with our Reach Right site, about 95% of our traffic comes through individual landing pages and not through our main
right.
homepage to our site. So people, sometimes they'll search for Reach Right and they'll find us online that way. But more often than not, they're searching for things like
right.
church web design or Google grant management for churches. And then we come up in a search engine and they get directly onto that page. And in the same way for churches, I think a lot of people are searching for specific needs or desires or things that they want a church to do, and that is their introduction point to the church website there. So
yeah.
We have 6, I guess, today that we wanted to share with our audience of if we were creating a church website, which we do all the time, these would be the 6 that we would focus on? These are probably your biggest opportunity landing pages that I think every church website, we should look at all of these here. So yeah, I think it should be a good conversation. Why don't you kick us off with the first one?
Yeah, this is a goodie here. Plan your visit page. Yeah. So these have been out for years. When I say out for years, being used and more widely used on church websites for years. Still run into a lot of people that this is still kind of a new concept for them or idea as far as someone planning your visit. Yep. I know we've consulted. I remember you and I consulted a church one time and they're like, really, do we want to ask? They were kind of unsure whether or not they wanted to give this type of a page a shot, because I was like, does really anyone want to plan their visit to a church, you know? Yeah. And so, but we find that these pages are very effective, and they've actually kind of been even more effective since the pandemic, because during when things were more shut down and everything, people were used to kind of having to RSVP for things, right, and plan a little bit more cautiously before they went somewhere. And so, yeah, these are effective pages. They're totally geared for the first time visitor. So that's the, right, I think the most important thing is when you think of developing this page, you need to think about that person that has not yet visited your church. What yep. are they looking for? What's the most important content that's going to pique their interest, reduce their apprehension, and cause them to take that next step, which would be to visit. But before doing so on this page, you want to, you could talk about a few details with this, some of the items, I guess, and pieces on this page.
Yeah, no, I think that, I think you said something interesting there. You say like that maybe pastors or church leaders wonder who would want to plan their visit. And I would argue that almost everybody would, you know, almost everybody would like to know a little bit more about what to expect. Think about this. Like, I just got back from a trip. I was in New York City, and before we ate any meal, other than just like grabbing a hot dog or something like that, I would get on to Yelp, or I would do a search for on Google for certain kinds of food. We ate halal food, which is like, I guess it's like a Muslim kosher food, which is really famous in New York City. Huh. We had a great time trying that. I'd never had halal food before. And so we had heard about it and we tried it. But before we went to the cart where they sold this halal food, we got onto there. We looked at their menu and we saw what we wanted to order and we read about it. And we basically planned our visit to the halal food cart that was on the corner of the street there. People do this for everything. You plan your visit before you go to anything. I look at reviews before I go to see a movie. We do all this kind of stuff. And so the same thing goes for churches. People will want to know, what am I getting myself into? What is it going to be like? And so to answer your question about what do you put in this this plan your visit page, I think the keys are you probably want some kind of video content if you can pull it off. So I think having a video of the pastor of the church, or you if you're the pastor, something short, nothing too long. We're not talking about the 30-minute history of the church and all. It's not your whole membership course. We're not saying put that on there. It's a simple, hey, here's why you're going to love your experience on a Sunday morning. Yeah. We'd like you to come. So that would be one thing. I think it's important to probably hit some of the highs about your children's program, because if someone has a family, making sure that their kids are going to be loved and cared for, having that content on there. And I think, like with everything else, you want to make sure you have a call to action. So having a let us know you're coming form, I think that really goes a long way, having that kind of content on there. We have found that while we certainly don't require people to fill out a form before they show up at a church, that when people do fill out the form, we've found that they're almost always stickier. Their odds of coming back on a Sunday in the future are even higher if they fill out a form. We're able to follow up with them and just connect with them and those kinds of things. So those are the three high pieces. I think that there's all kinds of other things you could put on there.
Yeah.
But for the sake of simplicity, I think those would be the three things I would try to hit.
Yeah. One more thing I would add into there that we've been seeing being added in on these pages too are frequently asked questions.
Yes.
And that's kind of actually usually right alongside of like that welcome video or right there up front as a, you know, how long's the service? You know, what do you do for security? Whatever, you know, there's a lot of stuff. You know, what are you doing?
What
about
do I wear? That kind of stuff.
What do I wear? What's the worship style like? How long's the service? service.
I think we forget it sometimes, as you and I have been in evangelical churches for so long, but people get uptight and like a little bit worried about if they're going to fit in with their dress code when they go to church there. Like, because, you know, we see pictures sometimes of people in suits and ties at churches, and we see, you know, for most of us in our evangelical world, we know that in most cases, jeans and that kind of stuff is fine. You know, it's not a big deal. So helping people be at ease with what they're going to be wearing, I think that goes a long way.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, good stuff. Why don't you tackle the next one?
Yep. The second one is a watch online landing page. A watch online landing page. I think it became ultra important in March of 2020 when most of us couldn't meet in person for a little while. So it was challenging. You guys, if you watch the podcast, you know that our church still isn't meeting in person here in Hawaii. We're still under some pretty tight lockdowns and those things. So it remains very important. But I would argue that it's very important for just about every church, because our world has come to expect opportunities to watch services online. That's kind of an expectation. Now, I know you and I, Ian, are of the camp that we think that in-person services are not going anywhere. And given our brothers, we would rather that things get back to primarily being in person. But I think we are fighting a rising tide of people wanting more and more online options. And that's going to be something that'll be one of the great debates for the church, whether a online service is as valid as an in-person service or not, if it fulfills our requirement to not forsake the assembly of the saints. Like, are we doing that with online services? So that's a whole nother conversation. The fact is that people want online options, and people are going to be searching for online options, and you need to create a landing page with online viewing options. So that's really important.
And one of the things a couple of things I would add to that too, is that even before the pandemic, it was very effective to have a watch online page, you know, and have video. Yeah, people obviously would prefer video over audio. Now it's better than nothing if you have just an audio sermons on your website. That's still helpful, but people would, we would even see, pre-pandemic, I saw a stat somewhere that, you know, people would even watch or listen to a handful of messages often before they even felt comfortable going to a church. So this is something that actually will help you engage first-time visitors physically too. So we talked about, you know, watching online and virtual versus physical attendance, but this is something that, you know, and also if you have a member that misses a service, you know, they're going to want to watch, or they can't make it that Sunday, have it available online for those two people as well.
I think that I'll mention this too. One of the things that you can't do with an online page, it cannot, and none of these landing page can be this, we can't do this with landing pages, is you need to make sure that on your landing pages you have some depth of content that's there. So it can't just be a page that says watch and that's just an embed of your most recent message or whatever that would be. You need to take some time to actually build around this. Talk about what you believe and about online services and whether that's good or not. Make sure you have an opportunity for people to chime in, to give, to be able to give comments, to fill out a form if they haven't watched you online before, if they need to find a way to connect. So giving people and actually building, a landing page around this video content, I think that really is what's important with all of this. But I think, having a watch online page that explains this and has some content around it, I think there's a few reasons. I'll kind of mention this, is that when you have content on these pages, it helps those pages rank on search engines. So if people are looking for online services near me, it's not going to show up on search engines if people just, if you just have a video embed on there. You need to actually have some content, talk about these things. I think as a goal, you should have a minimum of 600 words of content on there. That's kind of a rule of thumb when it comes to search engines. So you need to spend some time building up around this.
Well, and I think it's natural to do this too, because, you know, for even physical attenders, we always, most churches allow for them to respond somehow, right? Whether or not it's a altar call or going for prayer or going to the connection center afterwards to get more info on membership classes. Same thing. If you have someone following you online, a connection card. You mentioned forms and those things, but
yeah,
we've seen some churches that we serve that do a great job of this.
Yes.
Wayside in San Antonio comes to mind. Show their Watch Online page off all the time because they have they put a ton of thought into the content there, and we of course help them with that. But they have where someone can say on this connection card that they have questions about salvation, baptism, yeah, membership. You're giving people options, and as we always say, always have some sort of a call to action, right, on everything.
Every episode.
So yeah, that's right. So definitely, those are effective things. And natural responses would be to either fill out one of these or give, like you said, yeah, if someone was really inspired. And that might be if that's maybe their way to only contribute to serving the church or whatever if they're online. Make it easy for people to do those natural kind of next steps. Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, the next one, I'll let you hit it, but the next one, I think it surprises people to think that this is an outward facing page, but yeah, why don't you go ahead and get the third one?
A prayer page, you know, and this has been around since church websites were a thing, right? So we've seen that, but here's what you don't want them to be. So what we have seen traditionally is a link that says prayer, and then it just goes straight to a form or an email address or something like that. No, you actually want a strategic landing page that, you know, goes in depth as to why, telling someone why they should fill out a prayer request form, you know,
and
have some storytelling in there within the content of what prayer means to your church, you know, scripture references and kind of reduce apprehension. Well, your church, your old church that you pastored did a great job of this page. That's a good example of what you did there on your journey at the journey that you served at Madison. So you could talk a little bit about some of the results you guys saw probably.
Yeah, we thought of our prayer page. I think that we saw the model before was, you know, build a page that has a place for members to put in their prayer requests.
Right.
And we did that for years. You know, you saw maybe a couple a month that would get submitted, and there were things we usually knew about already. But we really tried to change our thought on that and decided to change it to, instead of just thinking about what our members need, the community, there's people out there that, you know, whether you really know Jesus or not, or you've made a decision to follow him or not, there's a deep-seated thing that I think people are innately, many of them think of themselves as spiritual, and they believe in prayer, whether they know who's answering it or who it is out there.
Yeah.
And so we found that even in a very unchurched city like Madison, Wisconsin, very unchurched and dechurched, people were very responsive to the idea of being prayed for when they had needs. And so we spent some time building a prayer page. And like you said, it's not just a link to a form. It was what we believe about prayer and why prayer works. And here's a testimony about prayer. Then we actually spend some time to say, if you fill out this form, here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray.
Yeah.
We're going to keep praying. Or we're going to maybe follow up with you if you'd like, some of those kind of things.
Yeah.
So we made some promises. And we changed our perspective from being for our members to for our community. And we went from a couple a month to seeing, by the end of my time there, we were seeing 8-10 prayer requests daily of people in our city asking for prayer. Now, some of it was, I've mentioned this on the episode before. We have people saying, I just always remember this one lady that would write, you know, Lord, pray that God fills up my Chase checking account. And she would always be specific about it. And
very specific.
Yep, for what it was worth.
She didn't put the account number and routing number, did she?
No, none of the information we would need for that to work. But the point with all this is, though, is that we saw about 10 times the traffic on our prayer page as we did on our home page of our website. So it became the primary way that people were introduced to our church in our community was by us. And I mean, think about that opportunity, that the first encounter you have with people in your community is you having a chance to pray for them, to lift up their needs before the Lord and to see what God's going to do. And we had a kind of a strict follow-up process on how we followed up with people. And, you know, we would actually get to connect with them. We saw many people come through the doors as a result of what God did in the prayer that we did for these people there. So it was really amazing to see. I think this is something that every single church should do. All of these are.
Yeah.
But I think this one specifically, just having had such success with it in a church-specific environment, I think it's just really, really a powerful powerful tool that if you're not using it already on your site, take the time to do it. Now, here's the thing too, it's not going to be an overnight thing. We didn't put this out and then the next day we had 10 requests coming in, and it didn't just work that way. It's something that happens over time. I think it's especially great if you combine it with things like the Google grant, where for those that don't know, it's $10,000 a month for churches in free advertising on the Google platform. You just go ahead and get out there and claim it. If you need some help, I'm sure you'd be happy to talk with people about that. You can let us know in the comments, or you could put in a request on our site. There's a link down below if you're watching us on YouTube here. But we combine it with those kinds of things to talk about prayer needs. It really is a huge opportunity for churches.
Yeah, good stuff. Good stuff, man. Nothing much to add on that one.
Cool. All right, I'll get the fourth one. I think these next three, the last three, I guess, are all, they have something in common, but we broke them out because I think they deserve unique landing pages, each one. So the next one is a recovery landing page. I think with these next three, and with this one specifically, it really is appealing to people that have very specific immediate felt needs, right? That's what we're talking about with this here. So we're talking about recovery. I mean, it could be that your church offers a 12-step program, or Alcoholics Anonymous, or Narcotics Anonymous, or one of those.
Celebrate Recovery
is, you know, probably one that a lot of our clients and our audience would be using there. So I think that those types of programs, they make for great landing pages. But even if you don't offer one of those specific programs, having a landing page for people that are searching for help in these areas is a great way to connect with people in your community. Because no matter what community you're in this country, you have people that are addicted to opiates. You have people that are addicted, that are suffering from alcoholism, people that are addicted to pornography and need help with those kinds of things, gambling addiction. No matter what it is, there are people that are in recovery in all walks of life. And here's what I have found is that when people are in that, we all recognize that people have to want it for themselves. You can't make someone recover. They'll have to do it for themselves. But walking into a church, or walking into a 12-step program, or to a porn addiction recovery kind of a place, inpatient, outpatient, it takes some guts to do something like that. It takes a big step for someone to get over that hurdle. And for a lot of people, they still have to do that. They still have to take that step. But for a lot of people, an easier first step is doing a Google search and saying, hey, what can I do to victory over alcohol or addiction recovery or porn addiction, whatever it would be. They type that something like that into Google, and they get onto a website like yours, and they're met with an opportunity to fill out a form that just says, hey, I'd like more information on this, or I'd like someone to pray for me for this. A lot of times, and we've just found this, is that people are always more brave online than they are in person. And so if we can give people an opportunity to be brave online and say, okay, you know, it's a lot of times it's the middle of the night, they're struggling with something like this. You don't have, there's not addiction recovery options for them available at 3 a.m, right when they're struggling, but they can get on your website. They can just kind of start that conversation.
Yeah.
And I think that's a huge opportunity. What do you have to add?
Yeah. You know, I think what, like we were talking about with the plan your visit page, when you have apprehension reducing content, I guess that's a good way to put it, because people, they have apprehension to take that next step, to show up physically at an addiction relief meeting or whatever, porn, whatever, like you just said, that example. So when you're breaking the ice and you're first explaining how you care for them and how it's going to be a safe place, man, that is really going to help reduce that apprehension for them to, you know, fill out that form or physically take that next step. So,
and I think some churches, the objection might be, well, you know, we don't have a big Celebrate Recovery program, and so should we even do this? Well, I mean, think about it this way. If someone came into your building and they said, hey, I'm really struggling with, I'm addicted to opiates and I'm trying to get off, you wouldn't say, hey, there's a church down the road, or, you know, they'd love to help you with something like that over there.
We don't have a ministry for that here. Sorry.
Right.
But no, because you do have a ministry. You're going to pray for that person. You're going to counsel them, right?
Of course.
So, you're right.
Even if you don't have programs, which, you know, it might be something you consider doing, but even if you don't have programming involved for that, you still have action steps that people can take. And in a lot of cases, just starting the conversation is the hardest step for people to take, to get over that little hump there. I think if we can get them over that hump with a landing page, and that really goes a long way. So why don't you hit the next one for us, Ian?
Yeah, next one, support, a support landing page. And this one, I was kind of, when we were coming up with this, I was like, well, yeah, you know, you don't see that too many on too many websites, a support landing page. And I think this is a good opportunity to mention, not all of these landing pages have to be in like the main navigation of your website.
No, they shouldn't be, as in we most talked cases. About.
Right, right. So yeah. So if you're thinking, well, I haven't seen recovery support and blah 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 at the top of a website. No, so they don't have to. So we'll reiterate that. But yeah, support's another good one. Single moms, whatever it would be, financial. Well, not as much financial. We'll get to that one in a second. But cancer. There's all sorts of support groups, right? That churches have or can form, whether or not it's cancer, someone battling through that. There's so many support needs out there that I'm sure we can go on and on about.
Yeah, I think I've seen churches have a lot of success with divorce care. I know that's a really common one. I've been a part of churches that have offered divorce care kind of ministries, but this is just for people that are in really challenging seasons of life. And I think the way you kind of to think about these is when people are struggling, what are they searching for online? Right. So someone is dealing with maybe they have some kind of a sickness. Maybe they are going through a divorce, something like that. But everybody that goes through divorce, they have deep, like emotional hurts that happen. There's all these dreams that have kind of changed and just life change that's happened. And how do you deal with your kids with these kinds of situations? And that's just one example. You know, you mentioned cancer and those things. If people are going through cancer, there's all kinds of an emotional toll that takes on people. And they are very often looking for answers and recognize that even if they're not Christians, don't know Jesus, a lot of them are not, that they probably can look to a church for answers in these kinds of areas here. So having a page built around this, again, with a call to action to say, hey, I'm looking for help or a partnership. So if your church does offer some of these kinds of groups, it's a total no-brainer. You need to have a landing page for these kinds of things. But even if you don't, again, it is an opportunity to minister to people that are already searching for these kinds of things. Your church should probably take that kind of a step.
Yeah, that's good. Why don't you bring us home with the last one?
Yep, we'll do. So the last one, like the last two, it kind of is based on some of people's searching needs. But the last one is for coaching type opportunities. So a landing page that talks about coaching. And what do we mean by that? It's for people that are maybe not on kind of like that hurt scale yet. They're not in need of support or care, but they're headed to that direction, right? So I'm thinking about things like marriage support. Maybe you guys have a class for a marriage class, or maybe you offer some kind of counseling at your church, parenting support. This is you and I are husbands and fathers. And so we've both needed to grow in this area, whether you're a good Christian person or not. There's lots of growth and everybody needs to be equipped to be a better parent in those ways.
Yeah.
And I think the one that I've seen a ton of results with is with financial coaching. I've led Financial Peace University courses at our church before. I think that is a fantastic tool. And again, I think the perspective change we need to have is that a lot of people, when they think about these things, is we think, how can we offer parenting support or financial support or marriage support to our members? What if we think about broadening that out and making a landing page around it, and knowing that our community isn't great at marriage, isn't great at parenting, it isn't great at finances either. So it's not just people within our church, but everybody needs this. And here's the thing, is that most people find their way into church through an invitation from friends, but usually they're not looking for that until they have some kind of a felt need in their lives. And this is a great way to introduce the way that the church has answers to some of those felt needs there. So I have seen, I know at our church, when we did Financial Peace University, we built a landing page around it. We sent some Facebook advertising that way. We did some search engine optimization for it. And we saw really about half of our Financial Peace classes were usually people that had never stepped foot in our church before because we had built a landing page around it there. Yeah. So what do you have to add?
Yeah, not much, but you mentioned this earlier. You know, I think it's important for pastors to remember that most people, when they're going through these seasons of life or there's these needs, mm-hmm. they're going to Google something first.
Yep.
How to get out of a financial rut, financial success, that's what people are doing. They're Googling everything now. And that is that kind of first initial step, right? Like you said, when you gave the recovery example, before someone's going to walk into addiction help or class or whatever, they're going to Google that first and do a little bit of homework and take that step first. So I think that's just a good reminder with all this is for pastors to remember it's a Googling culture.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a search culture. And here's one of the cool things I'll mention this is that some of those financial related searches are the most expensive searches you can do. Like if you wanted to pay for them, debt consolidation, right? So that's a huge industry. Usually it's people taking advantage of people that don't have a lot of money and not a great thing. The great thing is that with things like the Google Grant, you can actually target terms like debt consolidation that people, if you're seeking for debt consolidation, you're putting that into a search engine, you probably could use Financial Peace University or one of those other kinds of finance courses out there. So with the Google Grant we mentioned before, with $10,000 every month, you can compete with people that are actually paying like $40 a click for some of those kinds of search terms like debt consolidation or those kinds of things there. So huge, huge opportunity. And I think there's lots of people that really have those kinds of felt needs. So I think it's really a good thing for people to do. So we'll leave it at that for this week. I hope that's something that's been helpful to you. If it has been helpful to you, it means so much to us if you would rate, review, subscribe. Let us know in the comments also. A lot of our content is generated from comments and things that we're hearing on YouTube, in Facebook, on our podcast itself, on the Reach Right website. If you have any topic ideas or want some input or have questions about something, let us know in the comments below. It means a lot to us if you would do that. So thanks so much for being a part of our Reach Right family, and we'll catch you guys next week.
See ya.
Thanks for listening to the Reach Right podcast. We hope this episode will help you reach people the right way. Looking for more resources for your church? Check us out online at reachrightstudios.com. If this episode has been helpful to you, it would mean the world to us if you would rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next week.